And certainly we're grateful and thankful for your presence tonight. And we trust and pray that God will bless us and that the service may redound to the glory of God. I got to talk to Wilma a little while ago, and she's over at the hospital. And not only has she had some intestinal problems and a UTI, but now they've ascertained that she's got lungs, and rather, she's got pneumonia in one of her lungs. And Jessica told me, she said, Guy, she said, Mama is pretty sick, and if you want to, I'll just let you talk to her. And I said, yes, I want to talk to Wilma, and talk to her for just a few moments. And then I said, Wilma, let me have a prayer with you. And so we prayed together, and she told me, and I love to hear this, she said, I love you. And you know what? That's what it's all about. The unity that we have in the cause of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, loving each other. And when they're sick or when they're in need, whatever the reason may be, we want to assist them and help them in every way that we can. Matt, you did a great job tonight, son. And last night, didn't we have a fantastic singing? And you know what? I went back there a while ago, and Eddie was standing there, and I said, I'd like to have five copies. Well, somebody was standing there also. Hi, Danny. But anyway, he said, they're limited to four. And I said, well, I'll get four for Ann and four for me then. All right. Boy, I tell you what, I really enjoyed that singing. It was so wonderfully good, and I want to listen to it, and I know we'll be encouraged as we do so. Tonight, the lesson is concerning doing personal work. I've decided that I need to do more personal work. I've decided I want to do more personal work. And when I talk about personal work, I go back to the Old Testament. And the Bible tells us this, that you're a wise person if you really win souls for the Lord. Listen to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, the text implies that there are souls that need to be saved, that need to be won for the Lord. The souls of men are lost, who are in sin. Why, the Bible tells us in Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And they need to be won over to Christ. And you're a wise individual if you want to win souls for Jesus Christ. It takes a lot of thinking about it. It takes a whole lot, great deal of praying. And when we go and we learn what that word winneth really means, Dr. Strong said it means to bring them in, to draw in, to receive them in. And when you go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, you see how the Lord does that. No wonder the Bible tells us in Acts 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as being saved. I want you to observe the word daily. There was so much activity among the people of God. They were doing personal work. They were spreading the gospel. They were doing everything they could to get people to turn and obey the gospel. And the Bible says daily they were adding, Jesus was, to his church. There's so much said in the Bible about personally working in the kingdom of God to win souls. Now in Psalms 126, verses 1 through 6, we sing that song sometimes, bringing in the sheaves. Listen, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. They're singing about it. They're thrilled about it. What are they doing? They're praising God. Why? The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We've got to do the work of bringing in the sheaves. We've got the joy in seeing people turn to the Lord. We want every person who's lost to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look in Luke 15, verses 4 through 6. There the analogy is given, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, what does he do? Doth not leave that 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Here's a man that's got 100 sheep, but one of them is lost. Somebody's got to do something in order to get that one soul back, that one sheep back. And when he had found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, there's so much rejoicing. Where the Bible says, he calleth his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. You ever lost something? I mean, you just really want to find it desperately. And what do? You put whatever effort you possibly can to find it. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. We've got people that are lost. We've got people that don't even know Jesus Christ. There's got to be a lot of personal work involved in bringing them to the Lord. He that wins souls is wise. And I coined this. I talked to Sebastian. We were talking about my sermon. And you know, something came over. I looked at 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. And I said, you know what? The Bible teaches that we are saved to save. In other words, when we are forgiven and we're in the kingdom of God, what are we supposed to do? Do everything we possibly can to reach out and save others. Thou therefore, my son, Paul said to Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach also. Teach one, they're converted, and what happens? They're one to the Lord, and they're going out to do personal work to bring in others to the Lord. In Matthew 28, remember Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Go back with me. Teaching them. What are you doing? Teaching. You're trying to reach. You're personally involved in trying to get those that are lost. And here Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Teach, baptize, teach, and they baptize and teach. It's just a cycle. And all of us are saved to do what? To save others by reaching out personally to the Lord. Look at some of the examples in the Bible. In John chapter 1, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, he told Simon, hey, we have found the Messiah. What had he done? He had found Jesus. What is he doing? He's trying to get his brother to come. And Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Look what Jesus did when he found Philip. He said to Philip, follow me. Then look what Philip does. Philip findeth Nathanael. Look at the course. Here we find Andrew. What is he doing? He finds Peter. He finds Simon. We have the Messiah. Here he is. And he brought him to the Messiah. Jesus findeth Philip himself. And he said, follow me. And then what does Philip do? Philip findeth Nathanael and told him that he had found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Well, Nathanael asked, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? What does Philip say? Come and see. He wanted him to come and meet the Master. Come and see for yourself. Why is this work so important? Why is it so important? Well, because Jesus tells us and gives us the answer. In John 9 and verse 4, I, Jesus said, must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We have lost some wonderful people at O'Neill. People that have been sitting in these pews, coming to services with all of us. They're no longer here. They're no longer upon the earth. Their work is done. One of these days, our place will be vacant. We will be gone. Why should we do everything we possibly can now to be involved in personal work and getting as many people to the Lord ourselves? Well, the answer is quite evident. Jesus said, just like with me, I must work the works of Him that sent me what it is day. The night will come when no man shall work. How? I found in Colossians 2, verses 4 through 6, Colossians 4, 2 through 6, a prayer. Be sure you pray for those that are lost that you're trying to bring and win to the Lord. Listen to what God says through Paul. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. In other words, ask God to open doors for you and for me. We want to reach those that need to be saved, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Ask God to help you to speak as you should when that door is open, and walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Ask God to help you to walk through that door, that you're ready to be used in the kingdom of God. And ask God to help you use the opportunities that He gives to you. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Ask God to help you know how to answer others. And you put that together, here is a personal worker's prayer. Ask God to open doors for you. We want to reach those that are lost. Some of you will have a tremendous power, and that is, you know them maybe. You'll be able to do something to help them and reach them. Ask God, number two, to help you, to make sure that you speak in the right manner to those. Number three, ask God to help you walk so that you can go through that door, that you're living as a child of God. You love the Lord. Everybody knows you love the Lord, and you want others to walk with you. Yes, ask God to help you use the opportunities that He gives you. And then ask God to help you know how to answer others. I love this poem. I want you to think about it tonight. And I pray that God will help you to be able to find someone that you'll be able to love so much and to teach so much that you'll be able to bring them to Jesus Christ. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I gladly do my part to win that soul for Thee. Some soul for Thee. Some soul for Thee. This is my earnest plea. Help me today along life's way to win some soul for Thee. Again, Lord, lay some soul upon Guy's heart and love that soul through Guy. And may Guy gladly do his part to win that soul for Thee. Put your name in there. Are you ready? Personal workers are doing what? They're working and winning souls to Jesus Christ. I suggest you tonight, there are three things that you need to remember. Number one, You've got to love with all of your heart to be a soul winner. You must be full of love and concern for those that are lost. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be safe. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Who said that? Paul. Who did he say it about? His own brethren, the Israelites. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Folks here at O'Neill, we have a challenge before us. Winning souls is wise. Winning souls is bringing them to the Lord. But who will accept that challenge? Who will work? You can't win the soul if you don't love them and be concerned about them. Number two, the soul winner must be willing to give of himself to win the lost. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6 where we find that the prophet says, Lord, I'm ready. Send me. It takes that at O'Neill. Elders, deacons, preachers, teachers, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, sons and daughters, everyone doing what we can. Lord, send me. Let me reach that soul. Let me win that soul for Jesus Christ. But don't ever overlook the third point. Number three, the soul winner must be considerate. I heard one person that was chasing an elderly man down the street, screaming at him, you're going to hell, old man. What a nasty attitude. How many are you going to lead to Jesus Christ? Friends, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Yes, three things. Soul winner must love and be concerned. Number two, he must be willing to be used. He goes forth and finds those that are lost. Thirdly, he is considerate. He knows that soul is more important to him than anything. Is your life a channel of blessing? Are you burdened for those who are lost? Are you helping those who are sinners find Jesus who died on the cross? Make me a channel of blessing today. Make me a channel of blessing, I pray. My life possessing, my service blessing. Make me a channel of blessing today. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Why? Bringing their his sheaves with him. Is your life a channel of blessing? Is the love of God flowing through you? Are you bringing lost people to Jesus? Are you ready His service to do? How many have you led to Jesus Christ? Isn't it a wonderful thing to see somebody that you've had a part in their being won to the Lord? Because you took the effort. You loved them. And God, through you, was able to lead them to Jesus Christ. I could tell you, give you many, many examples in my life. Over the 60 years that I've been preaching, going in gospel meetings, teaching, preaching, sitting with people sometimes late at night, trying to teach them the way, and finally seeing the glow in their eyes. And they tell you, I'm ready to be baptized. I want to obey the gospel right now. I was in a meeting in Harrodsburg, Kentucky, many years ago now. But I mean, we were really having a lot of people baptized. Went back to the motel where I was staying. I never will forget, they called. And they said, there's two or three others that wanted to be baptized. That was exciting that week. Souls, but you know, it wasn't me. It was those people who were so interested in others bringing them to the Lord. When they're having a meeting, What did they do? They come. What did they do? They invited. They brought people. And I've forgotten exactly how many was baptized that week. But what a tremendously wonderful occasion to see many souls being won to Jesus Christ. How many times last week did you bring Jesus up in your conversations? To someone maybe you worked with. Someone maybe, yes, that you had some contact with. I wanted to think about some of the ways that we could find people that we could reach. And here are some things I found. I hope they'll be helpful to you in your consideration of it. Number one, those who visit the services. Who takes the time to see. Well, if you see somebody here that hadn't been here before, where are you? Are you there trying to reach them? Do you grab them right away? Do you talk to them? What about the mates of those who are members of the church? Have we taken time to see if we could help them? New residents in the community. Who's doing that? There are people moving in and moving out, I'm sure, all the time. A good opportunity to find someone that we can help to bring them to Christ. What about weak or unfaithful members that maybe some have just simply given up on, but maybe God is going to use you to bring them back to Him? What about friends of members? You meet them, and then you just maybe are thankful that you've met them. You want to see them more. Friends of new converts, people with whom you work. Right here is one of the grandest ways to reach out to people. And I don't know how many of you have done this. I hope many of you have. Because wherever you are, others can't be there. You can be there. And look, when you find people where you work, they know who you are. And I'll tell you one thing, you want them to know the way to heaven. And if they're not walking therein, do all you can. What about your neighbors and friends? Some of us don't even know our neighbors. People that maybe are just waiting to be talked to, encouraged, and maybe come to services. I had a problem with our television. The guy came out and I've forgotten how old he was now. I think he said about 30, maybe 33. But he had about 4 or 5 kids. I know that much. He's bless his heart. And I said, now, where do you go to church? Oh, he said, I don't go to church. I'm a firm believer. But he said, I had a problem. Lived up in Pulaski, Tennessee. And said, my folks, when I was younger, there was a problem in the church up there. It's one church called the Church of Christ. And boy, I thought, boy, that hit me right away. I'm just wondering now what he's going to tell me. Church of Christ, he said. And he said, I got discouraged and said, I don't even go to church with my kids. I said, I'm a preacher in the Church of Christ. Oh, something like that just happened this last week. I would have never had the opportunity to invite him here if I had not brought up Jesus Christ, how important he is to us. I hope he comes and brings his children. If he does, I'll sure tell you about it. Pray that he will. Relatives of members, other opportunities, parents of children who come here and attend, and people you read about in the newspaper that you know, weddings, deaths, births, people that have accomplished a lot and you know them and they're not going to church. There's an opportunity to find a good prospect for you to do some personal work for you to help them and win them to the Lord. Dating couples, particularly one when one is a member of the church. And here's another one that I was really excited about. I didn't get to go with David King and Matt Taylor. They went the other Saturday and going to the jail. I remember when I was at the congregation, Weatherly, I used to go ever so often and teach out there. Boy, what a wonderful opportunity. I realize you've got to have a lot of training and you just can't walk in there and they'll let you do that. But that's an opportunity for somebody, somebody that has the skill, somebody who wants to share the gospel. Brother Forrest Summers, one of the elders over at Weatherly, said one of their preachers, Denny Freeman, he has led more people to Jesus Christ and they've obeyed the gospel with him being and working with those in jail. An opportunity to reach out. Door knocking, I know a lot of places you can't do that very well. If you have an opportunity and you see that, grasp that opportunity. And boy, here's one that Ann and I have had a joy over. All these home health people. The first time, this time, when Ann had to, we had to call the home health people in, and the very first one that came was a man 52 years of age. And I said, well, I said, where do you go to church? And he told me he was a deacon in the Church of Christ. Boy, I said, we want you to come and visit us at O'Neill. Every opportunity that you have, let's do everything we can to reach people and people with whom you do business. Why? If you're a good business individual, they can trust you. They're going to listen to you. And wouldn't it be wonderful if you just invited them or if you sit down with them in their home and studied with them the Word of God? Your performance before others proves you as a Christian wanting to lead others to Jesus. I found a good illustration of this. Once while Fritz Kessler, a great violinist, had several hours to spend between trains, he went into a music shop. He laid his violin case, which had his name on it, on the counter. The storekeeper, seeing the name, thought that the musician's violin had been stolen. He called the police. Upon their arrival, they went about to arrest Kessler, thinking that he was a thief. All the time, Kessler insisted that he was not the thief, but that he was the real Fritz Kessler. Finally, he asked the storekeeper if he had one of Kessler's recordings, and he did. And the record was played. Upon completion of the record, Kessler opened the case, removed the instrument, and played the same piece. The storekeeper and policeman immediately knew that he was the real Kessler. His performance proved his profession. We profess to be Christians. The only way we can prove it is by our performance. Does our faith cause us to work for Jesus Christ? You remember this I used not too long ago. Once upon a time there were four men. Names everybody, somebody, anybody, nobody. There was an important job to be done and everybody was asked to do it. But everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about it because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it. Nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody and nobody did the job that anybody could have done in the first place. Each Christian has his own personal work to do. Jesus said, I must work. Friends, this is what personal work really, really means. Ah, what a beautiful statement. He that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11 and verse 30. My dad was 64 years old when he died. I do not know how many people he was instrumental in teaching. I know while we lived in Cleveland, Ohio, he and Mom would open up their living room and dining room. We had those big old doors between the two. They were pushed open, and we were meeting there in church services for the Lord. Some 35 or 40 would come. Some of the first recollections I have of that. I've often wondered, I wish before Daddy died, I would have asked him, Dad, how many did you lead to the Lord? How many did you win for Christ? But it's okay, because God knows. And you know what? One of the greatest joys that you'll ever have is for someone to walk up to you and tell you, I'm a Christian because you've taught me, because of what you've done for me. Friend, that's the most thrilling thing, to win souls for Jesus Christ. That's personal work. That's your and my personal work. Why not tonight, if you're in this assembly, you've never obeyed the gospel, won't you do that? Begin your way to the Lord by just doing His will, hearing His word, repenting, confessing, being baptized. And tonight, if you're an erring child of God, come back now. Ask God to forgive you. Let's every single one of us make up our minds here. Elders, deacons, preachers, members of the Lord's church here, we want to reach out. We want to gain somebody. Because when we stand before that great I Am, as Daddy would say, it'll be a terrible thing, son, to stand there and someone say to you, you never mentioned Him to me. Mention Him. Let's this week fill our lives with talking about Jesus, winning souls for Jesus Christ. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come and obey Him while together we stand and while we